Welcome to Profit Boss Radio, where successful women have paved the road to their own financial freedom. Each week, your host, Hillary Hendershot, financial coach, money mindset expert, and experienced wealth manager, will help you discover the keys to the wealth and peace of mind you want and deserve in her no-nonsense and authentic style. Starting right now.
Welcome to Profit Boss Radio, episode 52. It is the start of 2017. I hope that the year has kicked off successfully for you. Today's guest is probably the most well-read, well-published, well-known financial experts we've had on the show. His name is David Bach. He's one of America's most trusted financial experts. He is a renowned speaker and a best-selling financial author of 11 national best-selling books, including 9 consecutive New York Times bestsellers. It's pretty amazing when you consider what it takes to become a New York Times bestseller. His books have been translated into 19 languages. His number one bestseller is called The Automatic Millionaire. It was on the New York Times bestseller list for 31 weeks. He also wrote books that you may have heard of called Smart Women Finish Rich, Smart Couples Finish Rich, Start Late Finish Rich, The Automatic Millionaire Homeowner, and so on. He's joining us today because he's actually updated and published a brand new version of his most popular book, The Automatic Millionaire. And in today's interview, David is going to share with us about his amazing and inspiring financial beginnings, because it turns out that he owes all of his financial success to a woman in his life. He's going to talk about his time on the Oprah show and building his business and what inspired him to write the book. And after you listen to the interview, definitely go grab a copy of the updated Automatic Millionaire at hillaryhendershot.com/52. Enjoy David Bach. David Bach, welcome to Profit Boss Radio.
Well, thank you. It's so great to be with you.
Yeah, I'm excited. So, David, you really have built an empire, but if it's okay, I'll just step back a little bit and ask you if you would be so kind as to maybe tell us about your beginnings. What was money like as you were growing up? And what are some of the pivot points that led to the empire that we see today?
The empire. I don't know if it's an empire, but Hillary, I appreciate it.
Well, I'm looking at your page full of bestseller books, and it's pretty impressive.
It's, you know, I appreciate being on your show. I hope we can help a lot of people today. I'm really, really fortunate that I learned about money at a really young age, and I learned about money from a woman. And that woman was my grandma, Rose Bach. And at the age of 7, she taught me how to buy my first stock in McDonald's. And that experience of learning how to invest as a kid, how to actually think differently, right? Because we were at McDonald's, which was my favorite restaurant in the whole world at that time. And my grandmother was from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She sold wigs at Gimbel's department store. She was broke at the age of 30, working at the age of 30, you know, 2-income household, didn't have a college degree, renting, really didn't have any money, made a decision at 30 that she wanted to be rich. And she really self-taught herself. She took classes, she read books, she went to the library, started with nothing, brown bagged her lunch, and saved money, learned how to invest in the stock market, and over her lifetime became a millionaire. And she shared those lessons with my father, myself, with my sister, and you know, the whole family now is, you got 3 generations of millionaires, because Grandma Bach, as a woman, made a decision that she didn't want to be poor anymore, that she didn't want to struggle. And you know, that was just really lucky. Now, it didn't always go smoothly for me. And, you know, we can talk about the pitfalls and the mistakes I made when I was young, too, because it wasn't like I became an investor like a Warren Buffett. But, you know, the learning how to invest at a young age and being mentored by a woman is ultimately what shaped my destiny and led me to write my first book, which was Smart Women Finish Rich, because I just thought, you know, more women need to know what my grandmother Bach knows, so that they can take care of their families the way my grandmother did.
Wow, I kind of wish Grandmother Bach was available for an interview.
I know. Well, so, she got me, you know, I've been spreading her message now since 1993. We've taught a million women through my course, Smart Women Finish Rich. The first book was dedicated, you know, really to her. And now we've got, you know, God, I don't know, 12 books out and 7 million copies. But her story, I share her story everywhere I go because that's what started it all.
Well, and she was doing that at a time when that kind of information really was not readily available for women. In fact, she probably faced resistance when she did things like try to buy stocks or...
Oh, Hillary, I mean, I don't know if you've read my book. Let me tell you about the resistance she faced, okay? She went to a brokerage firm with the money because my grandfather wasn't doing this. And that brokerage firm at the days of stockbrokers actually told her to come back with her husband. And she said to them, you know, there are 5 brokerage firms in a 2-block radius. And if you don't want my money, I'll go next door. And they were like, ma'am, sit down and we'll help you. So, you know, she came up against a lot of resistance. And also her friends made fun of her. Her friends were like, Rose, why are you brown bagging your lunch? You know, why are you investing? Why are you taking these classes at nighttime? My grandmother was able to retire to Laguna Beach, California, and leave Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where it was freezing. And all those friends that teased her, they were stuck there in the winter.
Amazing. And so you got on a good direction from a young age with tutelage from Grandmother Bach. And what were a few of the mistakes that you remember that you made?
So it's funny. I just came from Reuters and they asked me this question. What was my aha moment or my grow up moment? I got myself into credit card debt in college. So when I went to USC, the credit card companies met you right at the dorm and they handed you a clock radio and a dictionary and a bike lock, t-shirt, and you signed up for these credit cards with your student ID, and then they sent you these cards with like $500 on them. And I told myself I would just use them in case of emergency. And then by the end of the, you know, middle sophomore year, I had $5,000 racked up on my credit cards that was just going to be in case of emergency, which was basically beer and pizza and going out with all my buddies. And my grow up moment was I came home to my dad and I had a sit down meeting with him in his office in the house. And I'm like, you know, Dad, I'm really embarrassed. I don't know how to tell you this, but we really have a problem on our hands. And I handed him the credit cards, you know, at the time, naively hoping at the age of 19 that he would say, oh, son, shame on you. And here's a check. He opened up the credit cards, Hillary, and he said to me, son, he handed me back the cards. We don't have a problem. I said, Dad, what do you mean? He goes, whose name do you see on the top of those credit cards? I said, well, mine. He said, did I help you get those credit cards? I said, no. He said, that's your problem, son. Those are your credit cards. And he said, let me just give you one bit of advice, son. He said, if you don't pay these bills on time, you will screw up your credit score. And if you screw up your credit score, you will ruin your financial life. So good luck to you. Get going on that. And that changed my life at the age of 19, because that was my grow up moment, which was like, whoa, really? Like, how am I going to pay off these credit cards? How am I going to make enough money to pay off $5,000 in credit card debt while I'm going to school full time? It actually forced me to become an entrepreneur because I knew I couldn't make enough money working by the hour on a college campus to pay off $5,000. Mm-hmm. And so I actually became an entrepreneur at the age of 19, printing up t-shirts and selling them on the fraternity and sororities at USC to make money to pay off that debt. So I took, I guess, a negative and turned it into a positive. But that was a real aha moment for me.
Yeah, it does sound like you took a negative and turned it into a positive. A lot of people's money success stories start with a load of credit card debt. And then after that, you became a financial advisor. You were with Merrill Lynch and had a really successful practice, right?
Well, you know, actually, it was with Morgan Stanley. I don't know who once upon a time said Merrill Lynch, but then it got repeated. So I grew up in the business. My dad was actually a financial advisor. I started going to my dad's investment classes at 9, and I was teaching my friends' parents how to buy municipal bonds by the age of 12. So, like, you know, this is not the normal way that you grow up. But I joined the investment business in 1993. And again, going back to my grandmother's story, you know, in the first 30 days in the business, I sat in meetings 3 times with 3 different widows who had suddenly lost their husbands. And in these awful meetings where we were consoling these widows, I was having to teach them, you know, both would they have enough money to be okay? That was the good news was that they would be okay. But, you know, showing them how that they would be okay. And in one case, teaching one of these clients how to write checks because she'd never written a check. The husband handled the money, to teaching them how to read their brokerage statements. And that experience, this is like 1993, that experience led me to create Smart Women Finish Rich, the class, because I created that class originally for my clients. I wanted to help my clients, all my women clients, get up to speed around money the same way my grandmother had been.
So I assume that it was the success of those first courses and that kind of activity that led you to ultimately leave Morgan Stanley. I mean, it's really interesting that you left what had to have been a lucrative career. The financial advisory world was sort of a blue ocean at that time, and to do something fairly completely different. So I'm just wondering what led to that change.
Yeah, well, you know, I worked really, really hard and got to the point where I had seven-figure residualized income. You're in the financial advisory business. You know how hard that is to get to.
Yeah.
For those who don't know what residualized income is, it means the money comes in always, right? Like it's you're earning a fee on assets. So the Bach Group had, I think, you know, over $700 million in management. It was at $100 million when I got there, and a little bit over $100 million. I grew it from – my dad had a solo practice with himself and one assistant. We grew it to a team of over 10. And I basically, in 2001, I had written Smart Women Finish Rich and Smart Couples Finish Rich. And really, even though both books had become bestsellers, and I now had two seminars being taught around the country by other financial advisors, I just wanted to dedicate my life to teaching full time. I wanted to go try and help another million. Originally, the goal was another million people. And so I knew that in order to really reach that goal, I had to give up this business that I spent 9 years building, and not just give it up, but move. Like, I was living in California, and I picked up with my wife, moved to New York City, didn't know anybody, really on just a hope, a wing, and a prayer that I would move to New York City, I'd write another book, I'd start getting on the major networks like the Today Show, and that I'd go out and touch, you know, another million people. I had people say to me, you know, management at Morgan Stanley, I had a couple of major high ups at Morgan Stanley literally sit me down and say, you know, nobody your age should ever walk away from this business with this much money under management. Like, you're set for life. Your dad's going to retire. You're crazy.
You're crazy.
And, you know, now I'm 50. You know, there was some wisdom, quite frankly, in that advice. But, you know, I had this dream, and, you know, and then it played out. Like, I mean, I came to New York in end of 9/11 in 2001. My clients begged, and they're like, you're not going to go now, are you? Because I announced I was going to go before the terrorist attack. And I went, and then, you know, like within 5 days of being in New York, I was booked to go on the Today Show. I started getting a ton of more media. And then I came up with the idea for The Automatic Millionaire. And then I launched that book on Oprah in November, you know, basically came out January 2004. It had taken me three books, and I think it took 5 years to sell a million copies. And then I went on Oprah, and we did like another million copies in like a year. And I got to spend the next decade basically going all over the world, continuing to share my message. And you know, it's kind of hard to believe because this started in 1993. And now I'm sitting here at the end of 2016. I'm putting back out The Automatic Millionaire at the age of 50, you know, continuing my crusade to get more Americans to pay themselves first to save money automatically.
Great way to introduce the subject. The reason for our interview today is the updates and newly released version of The Automatic Millionaire, a one-step plan to financial success. And I think that the one step you're talking about is one that's really actually close to my heart, something I love teaching, and I used it to get out of debt and build up my savings. Would you say what that is and why it's so important?
Yeah, so The Automatic Millionaire book, first of all, it's a little book you can read very easily. I wrote it like an eighth grade reading level, maybe more like a sixth grade reading level, quite frankly, which was really hard to do, right? Like, I had to take all this financial knowledge that I had of a lifetime and then make it super simple. But I realized, like, people need simple, because if it's simple, they can act on it. So you can read this book in less than 90 minutes. And then I created the plan so you can put it in place in less than an hour. And today, as I put this book out again, as an expanded and updated edition, you can really put the plan in place in less than 15 minutes. Like, technology has made it so that anybody starting with as little as a dollar a day can invest. And that's really the biggest change since the original book came out, is that technology has made it so simple. But at the core of The Automatic Millionaire is a story of a couple named Jim and Sue McIntyre. And it's a real story. These people took my investment class. I used to teach a four-week course, and it was a retirement planning course. And then, you know, we got a lot of clients from that. And these people came up to me at the end of the class. They had an ordinary income. He had made like $52,000 that year. And he was in his mid-50s, like 55 years old. And he wanted to come in my office and talk about retirement. And I remember thinking to myself, unless these people have inherited a bunch of money, there is no way they're going to be able to retire. And, you know, shockingly to me, this ordinary couple came into my office and they had nearly $2 million in assets. They had paid two properties off. They had over $1 million in savings. And I was so shocked that I actually stopped what I was doing, which was basically helping them with their retirement plan. And I said, I just have to know how you did this. You have to walk me through this, because I'm sitting here at the time, I'm in my 20s. I'm making twice what these people were making. I wasn't saving money at the time. And this couple walked me through what they did. And that's what the Automatic Millionaire book is. It walks you through what this couple did, how an ordinary couple, an average American couple on an ordinary income became a millionaire. At the core of what they did is they didn't do what most people tell you to do. They didn't have a budget. In fact, they said to me, well, you know, your class was really good and you talked about a lot of things that we did. But the one thing we didn't do, David, like that whole section on budgeting, that doesn't work. You know, we tried budgeting. It doesn't work at all. We fought. We hated the budget. You know, our parents taught us, forget the budget. You need to make everything automatic. And I was like, what do you mean automatic? And they're like, well, you talked about it. You talked about the need to do systematic investing. We made everything automatic. We paid ourselves first automatically. We paid our debt down automatically. And they walked me through the handful of things that they automated. So they took the budget out of it. They took self-discipline out of it. And literally, it took them like less than 25 minutes to walk me through it. And it was everything I had taught, and they had just gone and done it. And so I started teaching it through really through their message in a very simple way. And at the core, it's pay yourself first. When you earn a dollar, the first person who gets paid is you. You got to save the money automatically. It's got to come right off the top. And the secret formula to being wealthy and financially secure for life, if you start young, is it's 1 hour a day of your income. So whatever you earn from the hour of, you know, the first hour a day of your income, that gets swept automatically right off the top and put away in a retirement account. And I have all these different things I teach in the book, and I show you the compound interest charts. And you know, the amazing thing is when you're young, you see these compound interest charts and they look, they don't really look believable, right? Like you see, like if a person's young and they put $5 a day away, by the time they're 16, I call it the latte factor, you know, you could have $1 million. And it just doesn't look real.
Like, right, and it doesn't feel real when we're in a sideways market or a down market. It feels like that this can't be compounding, can't be heading the way David says it is.
I remember even like kind of thinking like, I wonder if this will really work out like for me. Like I'm going to do all this stuff because I don't want to be the guy that, you know, goes on TV shows and writes about this stuff and and doesn't do it. Like I hate people who don't walk their talk, which is so typical, especially in the financial services industry. I have never met more poor people than the financial services. You have people making $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, $900,000, $1 million, and they have no money.
Right.
You know, they constantly live beyond their means. You'd be shocked by how many financial advisors have been bankrupt. I didn't want to be one of those people. You know, I sit here today at 50. Aside from the how large, you know, I have a nice size net worth. I have almost $2 million in my retirement account, and it's because all I did was exactly what's in the Automatic Millionaire book. I paid myself first. In my early 20s, it didn't seem like it would go that quickly. People tell you when they're older, the time is going to fly. And it does. It flies. I mean, I remember hearing and I repeated the statement that at 20, you don't even think about money. At 30, you start to hear about it. At 40, you worry about it. And at 50, you hyperventilate. And, you know, at 60, you give up hope. Well, you know, now there's a lot of 60-year-olds I tell, don't give up hope because you're going to live to be 100. So you still got four decades ahead of you. But I think if I can convey a message to people, it's that the next decade is going to fly by for you. People think they're going to get rich in days. They're not. And you're not going to get rich in 12 months either. But in a decade, you can change your entire financial life. And in two decades, you can be living in that you can't even imagine what can happen to your life successfully in two decades. And the time's going to go by before you know it. And the best time to take care of your life financially is right now. You know, I tell people, you want to have a retirement? It's super simple. You have to buy it today. You buy it today with the dollars you earn, so in the future, you can have a retirement. Yeah. So you can hear I'm on my mantle right now.
You know, for those of you listening, I couldn't agree with David's message more about automation. I've talked with you before many times about this on this show. David, one of the biggest protests I get to the idea of automation is a couple things, one on the expense side and one on the income side, is for bills that are actually a different amount every month, like utility bills. It's tough to automate those. And then on the side of income, when people are entrepreneurs, sometimes their positive cash flow is inconsistent. So how can people think about and manage that?
Well, let's talk about entrepreneurs, because I'm sure you have quite a few listening. And today's entrepreneurs are women, and women are opening businesses at a rate of, you know, 2-1 versus men right now, almost 3-1. Yep. So, you know, like my wife, her entire career, she's been in the publishing industry. She's always had a job. She's always made good money. Now she's in real estate. So I'm going to use her as an example, right? So she's in real estate and she's doing very well very quickly. She's a residential real estate at Corcoran and she's killing it. She's crushing it. And the first thing I said to her was like, okay, great. But before we started making money, I said, honey, we're going to treat your business from day one like it's a real business. So today, before you start, we're going to get you an LLC set up. Well, how do I do that? We're going to go online and we're going to set it up. We're going to get you a bookkeeper. You're going to hire the bookkeeper I have, and you're going to use money. You're going to get the accountant. And then when money starts coming in, you're going to get a separate business card for your business so that you write your expenses off through a separate account. And then when money starts coming in, the first thing we're going to need to do is make sure that you put aside money for taxes, because if you don't, it's going to be a disaster, which so many entrepreneurs don't. So we're going to make sure that you're paying your estimated taxes on time. And then I said, the next thing is we're going to make sure you're setting aside money to pay yourself first. We're going to open up a SEP IRA. And then you're going to just, you know, when the money comes in, you're going to take a percentage. It won't be automated, but you're going to need to automatically think about it that way. So like 10% will come off the top and you'll put it in your SEP IRA. So it's not as easy to automate it when you're an entrepreneur.
But I think if you're committed to the process, I think it can be done. And it takes sort of sticking through that cognitive dissonance that says, this money is inconsistent. I don't know when it's going to come. And so I have to spend all of it or need all of it available for spending.
Yeah, you have to, you know, when you become an entrepreneur, you almost have to grow up like 3 times faster. Right. Like the funny thing is a lot of people become entrepreneurs because they don't want to deal with the responsibility of quote unquote a job. Being an entrepreneur is actually like way more responsibility. So, you know,
quit the 9-to-5 and join the 5-to-5 or the 12-to-12.
Yeah. I mean, it's really kind of comical. And so I think, you know, as an entrepreneur, you really need to be on top of the finances, because so many entrepreneurs are not, and they're working super hard and then they have no money to show for it.
Yes, especially for women, it's so hard for them to take money out of their businesses and pay themselves. And I always tell people, if you don't take money out of your business, out of that LLC business account, guess what? It doesn't belong to you yet. And I think that there really is a lot of resistance out there to the idea of being rich. And I hear women say like things like, oh, I don't need to be a millionaire. Can you talk a little bit about how much money it actually takes for people to achieve financial freedom?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me just say something. You don't need to be a millionaire. Not everybody does. I mean, I had a lot of clients retire with $250, $300, $400, $500, but those clients typically had a pension plan, they had healthcare coverage, and they had their home paid off, and they had low expenses. So if you have low expenses and you have a pension plan and you have your healthcare taken care of and your debt paid off, then you don't necessarily need to have $1 million. Now, with that being said, because I never want to be, I'm like try to always be the glasses 3/4 full guy. I think you don't have to be rich to live rich. My whole thing is it's really not about the money. It's really about your values and what you care most about and making sure you live a life aligned with those values. And that's all really, really true. It's also really, really true that pretty much most things take money. So people, well, money's not that important to me. I'm like, you know, people, you know, it's like oxygen. It's not important until it's gone. And I think that especially for women, you have to really recognize that if you're married, you're going to live longer than your husband, more than likely. An average age of widowhood in this country still today is like 57 years old. You're going to live, you know, easily 90, 100 years old. You're going to need money. And it's kind of like denial. You sit around and tell yourself, well, it's not important. It's pretty important, right?
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing in our country right now, and again, I'm trying to not be negative here, but the unfortunate thing in our country is the healthcare, because healthcare shouldn't be as expensive as it is, and it shouldn't be such a terrifying issue. And you need like $250,000 to decide for healthcare costs for when you're older. You know, I think that people are going to need to work longer and save more, and it's really the saving more that's the key. It's not the rate of return that you earn on your money. That's important, but you got to save more. Most Americans need to triple what they're saving. The average American is saving less than 4% of their income. You know, one out of two people right now in this country can't get their hand on $400 in case of emergency. One out of two people, we're talking like 47% of Americans, like half the people who are going to listen to your podcast supposedly can't get their hands on $400 in case of emergency. Now, here's the thing. There's a total disconnect in this country. Like yesterday, Apple, there was a research report predicting that next year when Apple puts out their iPhone 8, that 120 million people will go out and buy it. Well, that phone's going to cost more than the average American has and can't get their hands on in case of emergency. So somehow people find the money to buy these things. You know, 4.5 million people a day, I think it is, go to Starbucks. You know, so people are like, I don't have any money saved, but they can go to, you know, they can go spend $5 a day on a latte, or they can go and spend, you know, here in New York, I don't even know what cigarettes cost, but I know it's well over $10. It might be $15 now. You know, millions of people buy a pack of cigarettes a day. If instead of buying a pack of cigarettes, you had just been buying Philip Morris stock the whole time, if you're a smoker over your lifetime and you just bought Philip Morris stock, you'd be a millionaire. If you've been going to Starbucks for 25 years, instead of buying coffee at Starbucks, you just drop that $10 every single day into buying Starbucks stock. I don't know what the numbers are, but I'd be willing to bet you'd have well over $250,000 today in Starbucks stock. So I always tell people, look, if you don't want to give stuff up, then make sure you invest in the companies that you're paying every day.
I couldn't agree more. So the core message is save more, save more, save more. The way to get there is automate it. I'm going to segue a little bit here. What inspired you to update the Automatic Millionaire? And what was your favorite part of updating it?
Well, first of all, it's overdue. It's been 10 years. I have really low desire to go back and update my books because I'm always about the next book. And it's really hard to want to go back into a book and change and work on something that you've already done. And yet this book has helped so many people that it's the book has done 1.5 million copies, but I bet a couple million more read the book who didn't, you know, where they got it from the library, or they got it from a friend. So it's the number one book that people have thanked me for. And I went on a tour around the country like a year ago and, you know, had thousands and thousands of people come to events. And the events were ironically for couples. Like a lot of people read a book I wrote called Smart Couples Finish Rich. Mm-hmm. But as I would do a book signing for an hour or two, the majority of people who had like were dramatically life-changing stories were thanking me for the Automatic Millionaire book and then asking me, when are you going to update this? So that was my motivation and my catalyst for doing it. And I sort of thought, you know, I'm going to do this one more. I'm going to do this at least one more time. I'm going to update this book. I'm going to go out and spread this message one more time. It'll be my gift to myself for my 50th birthday. Yeah. And then I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'll open up like an ice cream shop or something.
So I counted at least 14 win stories from your book. What was one of your favorite examples of someone who profited greatly from The Automatic Millionaire?
God, you know, I don't really have a favorite story. They come in every day, right? Like, yeah. I love all stories. You know, people email me and they say, you know, I had credit card debt and I was living paycheck to paycheck. I was struggling. And I mean, I've had people come up to me and they had $80,000 of credit card debt and they got out of it. And they have $250,000 in savings today. I've had a lot of people come up to me and they're multimillionaires now. You know, people's stories are always just incredible to me. I love, you know, if you go to davidbach.com, there are literally thousands of success stories on my website. We actually stopped posting them for years because there were so many of them. They're all amazing. It's in the thing that's incredible to me in my life. This is the cool thing about writing books. It's different than being a financial advisor. Like when you're a financial advisor, you have a couple hundred clients. Like in our case, we had like 1,000 households. That's a big financial planning business. You know, you don't hear, you see it, but you don't always hear the stories. When you write a book like this, because it's now been, you know, I've been putting books out since 97. So it's been almost 20 years of books being out there. People's stories are just dramatic. And the gratitude and the sincere thank yous that I get from people are pretty much the one thing that keeps me going and doing this still is how much people thank me for it, because it's really cool. And they're like, hey, I sat down and I did a little work on a computer and I put a book out there and I went out and shared some messages and changed somebody's life. And there's a ripple effect with financial education, because it's just like my grandmother, where, you know, she learned a lesson and she passed it on to like myself and my sister and my father, and I'm sharing it forward. When you change one person's life, it's like with your podcast, like, I don't know, you know, your couple thousands of people listen to your podcast. You don't know whose one life you're going to change, what the ripple effect of that is. And that's the cool thing about doing what we do.
It always brings me kind of to tears when people share with me that they had a transformation in their life because of something I said or taught. And I'm sure that for you, that's 1,000 or 10,000 or 1,000,000x. So thanks for the good work that you do. My last question is about something sort of maybe tangible that people might take away or kind of wet their whistle about what's available in the book. I read that some of the book was about updating people with new laws and regulations, maybe tax laws. Anything specific off the top of your mind that's going to be really useful for people that they can find in the book?
Yeah, well, the biggest thing that's real, so everything's, all the tax laws have changed, right? So that's all updated. The biggest thing that's changed is technology has changed the financial service industry completely, right? So today, you know, 10 years ago, you couldn't go and invest a dollar a day. You couldn't, all these people who don't have $1,000 in savings, there wasn't really a place for them to start. And today there is. So I list all the new firms today. Mm-hmm. So if you're just getting started, all the new robo-advisor firms, all the new apps that are out there, companies like A Wealth Front, A Betterment, Acorns, there's so many new companies, new technologies like Mint.com that make tracking all of your expenses in less than 10 minutes automatically so simple. And a lot of these technologies are free. So, you know, technology is transforming how we save, invest, and manage money. And it's never been easier for the average person to get started. So that's a big part of what's new in this book. And I think that that's what so many, you know, I'm really hoping to reach a lot of millennials with this book, because the opportunity for 20 and 30 somethings to get on the right track early is really what I want to push out, at least this time around, to reach the next generation.
Well, we got a lot of those listening to the show. David, it sounds like Automatic Millionaire is a real resource, both an inspiration and kind of a strategy game book. So we're going to have everyone who's listening today go pick up a copy. You can find a link to purchase the book on Amazon at hillaryhendershot.com/52. David, it's been a complete honor to have you on the show. Thanks for being here.
Hillary, thank you so much. It's been my pleasure. Continued success to you, and thanks to all your listeners for tuning in.
Profit Boss, thanks for making it to the end of another episode of PBR. I have been doing a lot of thinking about you. I'm thinking about how hard it can be to change old habits. I mean, sometimes I think how nice it would be if things worked like they did for Keanu Reeves in those Matrix movies. If we could just lie back in an industrial punk rock barber chair and have a little cable plugged into the backs of our necks and just instantly become the masters of our financial domains. That would be kind of perfect, right? Except for the part about having the cable plugged into the back of your neck and the whole industrial punk thing. And Keanu Reeves is so annoying when you get right down to it. But I think it's important to form new habits, especially ones as fun as being alerted when new episodes of Profit Boss Radio go live. You want to know a secret? This is one habit that's almost no work at all. All you have to do is head over to iTunes, find the Profit Boss Radio channel, and hit subscribe. That's it. Then each week, you'll automatically find the latest episode ready and waiting on your favorite device. And the best part is that subscribing to Profit Boss Radio is just the beginning of other wonderful habits, like taking control of your money and learning how to build wealth or starring in your own reality show. Well, maybe not that one, unless it's on YouTube and self-produced. But plenty of great stuff is sure to happen when you subscribe. So what are you waiting for?
Thank you for listening to Profit Boss Radio, where creating success on our own terms happens every day. You're not alone in your journey to a rich life, and that's why Hillary is here to add value in each and every episode. See you next time on the podcast for women and money.